4 CPA Mobile.
K-4-HKX. Hey, Dave.
4 CPA. Sorry about that delay there. My stereo is acting up here. I got my phone connected via Bluetooth, but it's not, the controls aren't responding. I'm not sure what's going on. I looked on Ford website on Sync and see if there was an update, and there wasn't an update, so I don't know what could be wrong with it.
Sometimes Bluetooth just does that, and it just needs to be rebooted. So try it again tomorrow after you turn your phone on and off.
Yeah. Now my camera, it fell down. I guess one of my tires is going to fall off next.
They're just that way, aren't they?
Got my camera back on, at least. It's not swinging on the wire there. But anyway. Well, I'm headed to the house. I play tennis and... Well, it was a good night for tennis, too, but it was just perfect. Just cool enough to feel comfortable after I got warmed up. It really felt good.
I bet it did down there. It'd be just right for getting out there and working up a sweat.
Morning, yeah, I called my wife, and it went to voicemail, so she's probably going to call me back in a minute.
Has that magic feature too? Call back.
Rang like one or two times. It's an iPhone. If you hit that little button on the side, it'll send it to voicemail. So that she's obviously on the phone with somebody, and must be important.
Trying to get in there, Dave?
It was. It almost sounded like a carrier, but I didn't hear any audio.
Maybe not. I don't know. I'm not seeing anything on the scope, so I'm at home.
See, schmancy. We have a scope on 2 meters. Wow. That's good to know. I've just got an old radio, old Kenwood. It's almost as old as I am. No, I'm kidding, but it is old. In ham radio age, I guess. And it's a little mobile rig this guy gave me. But it works. I guess I'll use it until it quits, and then I'll buy me a new one.
Just got one of the ST991As where it's all in one, so you can't turn it off. It's there.
ST991, so that's Yaesu, right?
That is correct.
I'll have to look that one up. And read about that. See what you're talking on.
The shack in a box. It does 2 meter all the way to 160, or does 440 all the way to 160.
B4 CPA. Wow. I didn't know they made a rig that covered that much. I thought they usually started at 2 meters. But anyway, that's what I get for thinking. Oh, me. That must be a nice rig.
It's got a lot of sub menus in it. Some guys don't like that, but it's what I'm used to, so It just kind of worked for me. But Steve's got one of them too, and a couple other guys on here have got them.
Hey, well, Steve's got one, and I've probably seen it, unless he just got it. So maybe I'll recognize it. Anyway, I'm still going to look it up. Oh, me. But I'm happy with my 7300. I told somebody the other day, I don't see any reason why I'd ever need to buy another HF rig unless that one just totally went out.
But you can spend as much or as little on radios as you want to in this hobby, that's for sure.
I mean, I've seen them for 10 grand and on up, you know, just whatever floats your boat. I guess if you want to spend some money, you could definitely do it in ham radio. That's no doubt.
Quick way to get rid of a small fortune.
The guys I play with, he's a financial advisor, and he said he got a $2 million account today. It was a doctor that retired, and so he's making investments with that money for him, and he was going, you know, I could make you $2 million, and I said I'm okay, because I've already got somebody handling my stuff, and I'm very happy with the job they're doing. But he gets that line in. He's hit me up several times since I joined the sports club. He'd love to get a hold of my account.
Yeah, KO4HKX, that's for sure, and you got to be careful with that. Giving that information to somebody and who you give it to.
Hey, well, if anybody's listening, they're on Wade Hampton. It looks like there's a wreck at Wade Hampton and Edwards Road, and I'm turning before that, so I'm not going to be in the middle of it, but you might want to avoid that area, especially the eastbound side. But anywho, I just thought I'd throw that out.
Probably good information to share out there.
I don't know if it was a wreck or it was just 5 o'clock traffic, but when I went to play, I left at 5:15, and the traffic coming out of town, you know, eastbound on Wade Hampton was, all three lanes were full, and they were just at a stop. As far as I could see, both directions, right here at getting on off of Rutherford, you know, where Rutherford dead ends into Wade Hampton. And so, so I was able to go westbound and just less than a mile and turn left on the Watson Road and get on Edwards Road that way, because I wouldn't have gotten on Edwards Road going the other direction.
It's a pretty rough stretch right through there from Rutherford back into Taylor's. There's quite a few wrecks down that way.
You see people doing strange things with their car. You know, and just when I think I've seen it all, you know, then somebody does something else. So, and I just scratch my head. But anyway, maybe they're scratching their head at me. Who knows? Well, I am in the garage here, so I'm going to call it a night. And, but, and you have a good rest of the week, and I'll probably talk to you, I hope, Monday, but for now, have a good Thanksgiving. I'll say 73 is, I'll stick around for your final KB4CPA.
Good evening, and yeah, I'd hope I'd talk to you between now and then, but just in case, have a good Thanksgiving. 73 to you, KO4HKX, and I'll be on the side monitoring.
It's a frequency in use, Whiskey 4 Italy Tango. WB4NWB, W4IT.
4IT, here is W4NWB. Good evening.
Hang on just a second. I'm about a kilohertz high here. Hang on.
I hope you didn't have to go so far as to find a screwdriver or something.
W4NWB, W4IT. No, I'm trying to get the receive A, transmit B thing right, and the stupid FM thing is not set to zero for some reason. I don't understand that. It wants to go 1 kHz high on transmit. Does that sound okay?
A little bit of white noise on you, but other than that, you're fine. Am I making the machine okay?
Had a little bit of crackling a while ago, but I don't know. You about like me, that may not have a good pipe into the machine. Well, did you have a good day at work today, over?
Get my day to go to Oconee, and since coming back to work, it's like, man, when I get home, I'm just tuckered out. So that drive just does me in. I didn't used to even notice it, but now I can tell it. But did get a couple of trucks fixed while I was over there. It was a good day.
Okay, very good. Are you in your indoor shack or vehicle or what? Over.
I got a little bit of RF getting back in the mixing board, but yeah, I'm indoors on the 847 to the J-Pole in the attic.
Still good copy. I'm only running 10 watts here with this ICOM 251A, so you never know about it yet. It's old like me. And so forth. Well, what I'm doing here, I've got something messed up. But anyway, it's close enough, I guess. Get into that discriminator up there. But anyway, yeah, been kind of busy today. I'm getting lots of work done and things done. So, I did get to see David and Charlie, so progress report on both of them is that they're hanging in there. Charlie's doing and looking a lot better, but it's just going to take some time. How you adjusted, over?
Seeing both and glad they're both improving. That's awesome on both parts. Charlie had me worried after you told me what you did, and I'm glad they figured out what happened anyway. And, yeah, that'll just take some time. It sounds like as far as he went down, it'll take a little bit. I'm doing okay. My endurance is getting a little better. I actually got out there Monday and blew leaves for, I don't know, a couple of hours. I didn't push myself, just up my time. But, doggone, my right bicep is so sore today. It hurts to straighten my arm out. And I can tell I've lost muscle mass even with everything, so I've about gained my weight back, but I don't think I've gained my muscle back, over.
W4NWB, this is W4IT. Okay, well, yeah, I guess so. I almost have tendonitis or tennis elbow in my right elbow, and the left one don't feel much better. And my carpal tunnel in my right hand is really been bad lately. Been having to use a lot of aspirin cream and so forth. I think sometime later next week I am going to go see the hand doctor and see about getting this carpal tunnel repaired. And I got a torn tendon there, so that'll put me out of commission for about 6 weeks. But, you know, that's okay in the winter, as long as it's not in the summer. I did want to talk to you about something, though, and that is, any experience with these Chinese Heliax connectors? I don't have any, but I've got a bunch of stuff with N male, and in some cases I actually need the N female to go on the Heliax, which don't seem to be that many of them. Everybody's using N male. And I'm thinking of just at my antenna switches, since they are UHF connectors, you know, the old PL SO239, if you use a PL259 on. I'm thinking of going to see if I can find, since I'll be working at ground level, just replacing all of mine and going directly into the antenna switches with the lossy UHF connector. You know, the Europeans are smart. We're the only amateur community in the world that still uses PL259s and SO239s, one of the worst connectors you could have. W4NWB, W4IT.
W4NWB returning. No, I have not had any experience with those. I don't think I've ever laid hands on one. I've only used, back in the day, gosh, I can't remember the brand we used to use, but Andrews is predominantly what I've used, I guess, most of the time. I can't remember who made that other corrugated stuff and True Heliax back in the day, too. There were a couple of other ones, but they were all American. No, I've never dealt with any of the imported ones, but it would sure simplify stuff, I guess, if you went straight with UHF connectors and eliminate a little bit of a adapter, need an adapter or anything like that. So it kind of washes as far as loss. It wouldn't hurt you at that low frequency anyway, unless it's for your UHF, VHF stuff. But HF would be fine. But no, I have not tried any of the import stuff. I meant to go out there and look and see what I have, because I know I've got some connectors out there that are for that. I can't remember the exact part number you have, but it's the half inch Superflex. And see what I have, and maybe I could hook up with you and give you what I got if you want it. But it's probably going to be in connectors too. So if you want the UHF, I guess you may have to take the plunge. Although those things are not cheap. Of course, I haven't priced them lately, but I'm sure they've gone up as everything else has. But at any rate, I was curious. I'm going to ask you a question too about how your tower work was coming down there. Go, over.
F4IT. Well, I have a lovely TH6 up at 50 feet, and about 6 feet above that, I have a 11 element horizontal 220 Yagi. And on the 40 foot tower at about 43 feet, I have a 8 element KLM 6 meter Yagi. And about 6 feet above that, a 432 boomer horizontal. And about 4 feet above that, or better, a Don working Cushcraft 13B2 instead of the 17. I went with a shorter one, but the minute before the bucket truck arrived, I was torquing the pigtails on to the matching unit, the 2 meter Yagi, and that, sorry, Cushcraft stuff, the, when I say torquing, just use the pliers on them before I did the black tape, and then the stretchy rubber waterproof, and then the final black tape. I always like to take the pliers and make sure I'm tight on the thread. You know, peel will back off. But in this case, it was the end connector. And the end connector cracked out of the flange. So, lucky guy's got to come back. And I'm either going to put up an all-new antenna, which makes it quick. And we'll just have to see how that works out. And 2 meters and... that's bad. That's kind of the money antenna, you know. W4NWB, W4IT.
IT, W4NWB. Well, man, that's, I hate to hear that. That's awful. But, man, it sounds like you got a lot done. That's awesome. The rest of it is. Did you get your coax run, too?
Okay. All the coax is run to the ground, and some have connectors, some don't. All the weatherproof is taped up till I get my boxes mounted over the coming weeks and get my antenna switches in. Speaking about connectors, I'm really looking at thinking out of the box and changing out the connectors on the antenna switches, making them all in. And that would match up to some degree. But, you know, then again, I can mix and match them because for my polyphasers, for my grounding and all, it gets complicated quick, over.
Yeah, as long as you're able to swap them out on the switch, that might not be a bad idea because the end would perform a whole lot better, of course. And like I said, I think I'm almost positive I have a handful of those connectors here for the half inch, and they're probably in. That's the majority of what I used to use. So if I've got any, you're welcome to them. In fact, I just got to get them to you somehow. I need to go look and see what I do have. Maybe I can get home tomorrow a little earlier. I've got a doctor's appointment at 2:40, I think it is. It's just a checkup from COVID, so maybe if I get home in time tomorrow, I can take a look and see what I do have. I'm pretty sure I know where they are, and but if you want them, you can have them. You're more than welcome to them. I just had another question for you, and it just slipped my mind, too. So I know what it was. When are you heading back to the retirement home?
So, tomorrow morning, so... he'll have to be the next flip-flop, I guess. But appreciate it. Yeah, hang on to those. The only thing I might need is I might have to come up with one of the Superflex connectors. I actually have one, but I didn't understand how those things worked, the ones that I had, because they were the ones we talked about that this uses an insertion force. And they actually have a crisscross cut in the center pin on the rear where the Superflex center conductor, you know, deeper it, slide it right in. Well, I was monkeying around with needle-nose pliers kind of figuring out how in the world does this thing come out. It's before I even had an idea that the connectors I had were insertable types and not solderable. And I tried to pull that pin out, and I broke one of them four lips off. So that whole end male connector is worthless. So I'm short one. I had just enough for the Superflex. I got plenty for the regular. Large half inch Heliac, so I'm good there. Just I need one Superflex and a bunch of N type flange connectors, and female, of course. And oddly enough, that were technically competent who could have changed that N connector for me before that antenna went up. And
It rained like 3 days in a row before the bucket truck got there, and it stopped late that night before. It was just too dark and cold to be out there mucking with it. And, you know, I was in a hurry, and I guess I just don't know my own strength. But I really accredited the cheap Chinese end connectors as part of the their matching box. But anyway, right off this is pretty clean, and I wouldn't put nothing on it. So he must have had a hairline fracture from the factory. So there you go. But I had two that was easy to get to on a box covered up on a table that was an old 900 megahertz duplexer or something that, you know, four screws and desolder the center conductor, and it would have went right back in that box. And I had technical people there that could have done that while I project managed the bucket crew. W4NWB, W4IT. It just didn't dawn on me. Over.
W4NWB. Yeah, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. You just don't know your own strength, Steve. That's all it is. But, yeah, chances are it may have had something already wrong with it, and you just, you proved the weakness. But anyway, I'm glad you got done what you did. Sounds like you got a whole bunch done. And, man, maybe we can make better paths now that you got the big gun up. And, for that matter, you got a lot more flexibility now. So that's excellent. I'm glad for you. And hopefully you can get the switch traded out for N-type connectors. That would be better. And if that'll still work with your polyphasers, that'd be all right, too. Are you doing polyphasers? Well, I guess, are you going to do polyphasers just on the single run back from the remote switch over?
I think so. I'm going to take a risk on letting it get the switches because, you know, each tower has three, you know, independent grounds. And, of course, I have my station ground, and I also added another ground to my house. And I tell you what, it was nice just to have the loan of a hammer drill. These old post bangers and sledgehammers, they do not cut it. It's just amazing. I also helped a couple of people down there put in some ground with that thing, and they were just amazed. I showed up at one guy's place, and his tongue had sand under it because it was hanging out so far, and he'd been banging for a while. I set the drill on. I said, now, you may have to pull me out of the hole this thing will make, because I bet you I'll be done in about 20 seconds. And he said, yeah, right. And it didn't take me 10 seconds, and I put it down 4 feet to put it out of sight. So he was just like amazed. And I was amazed. I don't know what his problem was. I guess I don't know. The rock must have given by the time I hit it with the hammer drill.
W4IT, W4NWB. It didn't take much time at all. I can't imagine it being harder down there in that silt, I'll call it. I would think it'd be easier than what we got up here. But I'm noticing up here, especially around my house, I've got a lot of rock that's just under the topsoil. I forgot what I was putting up the other night, something I needed just to stick a little something in the ground. And everywhere I poked, there was rock, and I got some really big rocks even above ground up here. So I hope I don't run into that problem. The ground rod that I put down for my station ground at the shack outside is in the drain field for my septic tank. So it's, I could tell I was going down through gravel, but it wasn't that hard. So I'm definitely going to add a couple more once I get the tower up toward the front. And that is, I don't know how that's going to be. I'm a little anxious. May have to do like I did in Georgia. Drive the ground rods at an angle to get them far enough in the ground. I'll never forget that, too. That was down in, Hart County down there, and big old 250-foot TV translator tower, and you couldn't get aground. It was all rock under there. But I don't think it's that bad anyway. Well, it sounds like you got it pretty well mapped out, and I believe that'll do you really well. And I hadn't had a whole lot of time to do much up here, just trying to catch up on the backlog. I was just stuff I needed to get done around here. Luckily, I had a fella cut my grass twice for me, so I wasn't behind on that. My St. Augustine had quit growing anyhow when it cooled off, so now I'm just dealing with leaves, and that's not bad. I gotta get some gas and gotta blow some with the lawnmower at the end of the driveway. That's about the only place I can't get to easily. It's easy to do it with the mower, so that'll have that done for the year, and then I can start concentrating on some other projects. But fine business. Sound like you made good progress. W4IT, W4NWB.
W4IT. Yeah, I made some pretty good progress. I think I had some heavenly help there on all that, because we literally put up two towers in 8 hours with a lot of antennas on them. I also have yard arms with the real high quality Mastront line. The stuff, it's 800-900 pounds. And breaking strength to pull up and down inverted V's and stuff. So I have yard arms at the top of both towers, just above where the rotator's nested. I got a good bit of groundwork left, but, you know, I can knock that out 3, 4, 5 days. The biggest challenge has been trying to figure out how I'm going to connectorize those switches in. And so forth. We'll just have to see how that works out. So when I came home up here, I added a ground to my home here too. And ain't nothing like a hammer drill. I'm telling you, let me know when you get ready to do your stuff. Cause, no friend of mine should ever need to tap on a ground rod with a sledgehammer. That's what tools are made for, automatic tools. W4NWB, W4IT.
W4NWB. Yeah, I'll never forget one of the first times I ever went out to do a commercial install with an older guy that was teaching me the ropes back in those days, in the early 80s, and actually mid-80s, I guess. But he said, I'm going to drive this ground rod with a Coke bottle. And I went, you're going to do what? You know, back when the glass bottles, and he said, yeah, I'm going to drive this ground rod with a Coke bottle. And he did the method where he poured a little water and diddle it around, push it down, and, you know, I don't think he ever got a sledgehammer out, but I've seen the hammer drill, and it works. I've got a hammer drill. I just don't remember if it has the capability of being just hammer. I gotta look at that. I actually got it from my 5-year anniversary when I was teaching at Virginia College, so I'll have to look at that. And if mine don't do that, I will sure let you know when I get ready to add those, because I don't want to have to fight with them. So I will definitely take you up on that, over.
4IT returning. Okay, very good. Yeah, sounds great. Look forward to it. Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to convert all my antennas into inverted V. I need to get a 160-meter one up where I can participate in the contest you're coming up in December, the ARRLCW one, and then I think the CQ one is in February or whatever. So I would like to get a 160 one up and work a little bit of 160 while it's cooler and less noise in the evenings. You know, down there, I'm really, truly subtropical because I live below the 30-degree parallel.
not far from it, though, about 10-minute drive. But anyway, I'm south of it. So there you go. And that'd be nice to work that again this year. I had a crazy configuration last year by horizontal L's in effect. I just doubled the length of my 75-meter dipole and added a little bit more to it. Did right angles at each end of it to different trees, and so it was kind of like one of the legs of a Swatiska. It was kind of, you know, one of them crazy, almost, well, it wasn't a Z, but whatever. I think you get the idea. But it worked great. I was really surprised. Amazingly surprised. I did really, really well. W4NWB, W4IT.
W4NWB. That was actually going to be my next question, is about 160. That's one band I have never talked on. As long as I've been a ham, I've never been on 160 meters, and I've been researching here and there as I have a minute. What to do for antenna, and I got a lot of copper. I got to figure out exactly how much, because I know they're a pretty good size. But I had thought about just running it back through the woods on the one half, and I got all the sweet gums on this end. I could tie it to on the other. So that's going to be my next probably antenna project before the tower gets up. Because I don't know when the tower's going to happen now. I had planned to do that in September. And that sure didn't happen, but at any rate, that's my next antenna project. It's going to be something for 160. I thought about doing an infed half wave, watching Steve Ellington's N4LQ's videos, and I don't know, I just hadn't quite decided on what I want to do, but anyway, I'd be open to recommendations. And it sounds like your S-shaped antenna would have been a pretty good pattern, so I don't think I could quite do that here. It's probably going to turn out to be more like a traditional dipole, just not very high, or like you said, inverted V. But anxious to try that one too. W4IT, W4NWB.
WB, W4IT, very good, Rob. Yeah, well, you know, it's a cloud warmer, so I went from the back side of the house and from the center of the rear of the house. I've got two trees perfectly on each end that allows me to get a perfectly horizontal 75-80-meter dipole. And right where the insulator was, I tagged off of that at a right angle and took it another 65 feet and did the same on the other end, except went the opposite direction. And both of those kind of tailed down to the end. The inverted V part of it was actually a new addition, because I was too lazy to get the air cannon out and launch a couple of the limbs of the big hickory trees, some of them I got. And keep it, you know, the same height off of the ground. But hey, it worked awesomely great. I even worked two or three sections in California, which is rare. That's kind of getting one or two from here in South Carolina is rough. But from North Florida, I worked and didn't have a problem. I'd usually hear them from here. The problem would be that I'd start calling them and they couldn't hear me, and then people would just steal them from me because they were excited to work a West Coast section on 160. But they're there if you listen. And a lot of them are smart enough in California, believe it or not, to get away from us here on the East Coast and the Northeast Coast beacons, where everybody's beaconing and calling CQ for 160. So anyway, somebody's got to call CQ, but man, they cover up a lot of weak stations. It makes it hard. So if you get on up toward the upper end of the first 100 kilohertz and start listening, you can hear some of the California stuff. But California was always hard from here. Oregon, Washington State, though, was never a problem. Even Idaho at times was quite doable on 160 CW. W4NWB, W4IT.
W4NWB, I heard somebody keyed up on top of you. I was waiting to see if there's anybody else wanted to come in there. But, yeah, I want to give that one a try. I've never worked top band, so I think I may try what you were saying just to get some more added on to my 75-meter dipole. It's a true dipole the way it's set up, so it'd be easy enough to tack on to the ends, and I still got enough real estate on the into the woods that I could do the 65 foot on that end and then come across the yard on this end. So that's a good idea. I may give that a try. That's easy enough. But don't have a whole lot else. I think that was most of my major questions, and you answered my question. I was going to be sure and check on Charlie and David too, and that's definitely good news. I'm still improving and just trying to get my stamina back myself, and hopefully this winter can do a few projects too. But I'm glad you got the majority of your outside stuff with the bucket truck accomplished. That's major. And get all that done in one day, you're just a good project manager. That's all it is. W4IT, W4NWB.
W4NWB is W4IT. Well, I don't want to do that again. I about worked myself into the ground because, I had to provide all the tools. My bucket truck guys were tree cutters, and they were from El Salvador. But hey, it cost me about a half to a third what probably would have cost, and they provided 2 ground people to help, and one of those guys climbed. Actually, I had one guy in the bucket, another guy with a belt on the tower, and positioning, helping get the things in and popping the bolt through. I mean, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing. And then using the, I'm going to use the term, the cargo belt, which, it's got a winch on it that you can tighten up and bend those legs in just a little, because they're tempered and have the tendency to spring out. And of course, they got a nest inside on the Ron HDBX section. The upper one, goes inside as they go up. But anyway, from a couple of them, boy, they was off to the races. They kept me busy. And it worked out real well, actually. They put a good 8.5 hours in, and when they left, I was a bit poor, but I tell you what, it was well worth it, because, the other guys around there that do that, they would have taken 2 different weekends and charged me probably twice as much based on the estimate I got from them. So I think I took the right route.
W4NWB, I would tend to agree with you. Sounds like a really good deal, especially to have 2 guys on the ground in addition to the guy in the bucket and one of them climbing. Man, that's really good. I wish I could run upon a deal like that. I need to start investigating around here. Of course, my first thing is going to be taking down this big oak back here and get rid of it. I can't really do anything until I get that done. So I gotta do some more research on a tree cutting outfit somewhere. I've seen a bunch of them around here, but just never called or checked to see, what they charge. I know we had an oak that was close to the house here that was a big old oak, fully mature, and it died, and I had to have it cut down. It was $500, so I anticipate it's probably going to be that much anyway. So got to figure that one out first, and then I can start planning on the tower. Seems like I've been planning on the tower ever since I've been here. We've been here 7 years now, so one day maybe. Anyway, awesome progress down there, and I don't know much else that's going on around here except I'm working on, I got a couple of guitar amps I'm working on. One I did, I worked on it for a couple of weeks before I went back to work, and I'd seen you some pictures. A fella blew the fuse in it, and he decided he was going to put a piece of tinfoil in it, and he caught the thing literally on fire inside. The screen resistor burned literally and caught some wiring on fire. So I seen you the before and after on that one. It turned out really good. W4IT, W4NWB.
Very good. Yeah, they got a net coming up here at 9. Can you hit 8-2 from your place?
Okay, but I'm not sure how well I can get into it. We can try that one if you want to, if you want a QSY.
We may do that in a few minutes. I've been running off of beta repeaters, so there you go. They ought to cut me some slack anyway, because I was part of the original crew that, back in the day when you had to do site surveys and field strength measurements and apply for the license, I was on that crew and worked for WFBC at the time and was the one who went up with the antenna on the actual TV tower. So they ought to cut me some slack, you know what I mean. Anyway, that was a something. See the world from up there. Man, you didn't have to be in an airplane to discover that either the lens in your eyes makes the world look round at that altitude, about 200 or 300 feet up the tower. And, man, that's something else. But, anyway, those were the days and 69, 70, 71, man. Wow, wish I had some of that to live over again. I'd have took better care of my body, over.
I've had a lot of those myself, even back when I was doing climbing. A lot of times I wish I'd taken a camera up, but didn't. And it's pretty stuff, even when I was traveling, building systems. And yeah, I did have the presence of mind to do it when I was in Boston, but me and some of my biggest, best work, I guess, I didn't get to capture for perpetuity, over.
Well, I was crazy as a teenager. Weighed about 185 pounds, played football and all that. Was tough as a rock. And no guy there in Greenville, he's been silent key for about 40 years, K4MSS, Bub Turner. He called me into climbing his BX tower, one of the little lightweight things. And he must have been about a 56 foot, I think he had the 56 one. And man, that thing was small and spindly, and I was way too heavy for it. It didn't have a climbing belt, and I went up to about 45 feet on it and changed out a Ringo Ranger antenna something was wrong with it and replaced it for him and come back down. And I swore after that I wasn't climbing any more towers, over.
BXs are, they'll twist on you too. That makes it fun. W4IT, W4NWB. Yeah, those are fun. I used to have one, a customer down in Belton, I think it was. It was a farm, and he had one of those. And I remember having to do something up there, but man, I sure wouldn't try it without a belt. You must have been young and green. Yeah, and now you got to have the full Miller harness and everything. And it's not like it used to be years ago when I was climbing. Thank goodness, because, man, things are a lot better now, safety-wise, anyhow. There's a lot of fun things I've done, and I wouldn't take nothing for the memories, but I'm like you. I wish I'd have been a little easier on my body, especially my knee. That's the only thing that really still gives me a fit for that kind of stuff anyway. But, that's the way it is. That's life. You got to live it and enjoy it. It's about 11:45, a little after, I guess. You want to go ahead and QSY and try 8-2, W4IT, W4NWB.
4NWB, W4IT. Yeah, we're QSY to 8-2. Can you hit 7-9? Is the second alternate over?
with that one. I'm a little further from that one, but we can try 8-2, and if that doesn't work, we'll give 7-9 a try too.
Think about it. If it don't work, I'll see you there in a second. You can text me if you got any other ideas. W4MWB, W4IT, I'll be QSY.
Thanks. W4IT signed, W4NWB, QSY.
KI4DOS, calling CQ to the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Your net control tonight is KI4DOS. My name is Gary, and my location is Easley. In the interest and promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of an emergency, this net will be activated. This repeater is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society, and all amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. Is there any formal traffic bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KI4DOS. One announcement, I'll put a number one on it for tonight, be my first one. This coming Saturday, the 20th, there will be testing at the Red Cross building at 940 Grove Road over in Greenville. If you would like to upgrade, or if you're listening on a scanner or somebody else's radio or whatnot, you would like to get your license, you gotta come on over to 940 Grove Road to the Red Cross building at 9 o'clock on Saturday. They have changed things a bit. You need to bring an FRN number. If you're already licensed, you've got one of those. If you're not, you can go on to the FCC website and get you an FRN number before you get there. That's one requirement that they have changed on us. So you have to bring your FRN number, picture ID, and $10. The test is still $10. And we will be starting about 9 a.m. Saturday the 20th. Does anyone need any fields? Traffic bulletins or announcements for the net, please call KI4DOS. We will now begin the roll call. This is a directed net. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. Please check in your proper alphabetical group. As you check in, give your call, name, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the rag shoot portion. This being Wednesday night, the rag shoot portion will be postponed a bit while we have the swap net portion of the net. Then we'll go on to the rag shoot, stopping periodically for additional check-ins. I had a few people that use the pre-check-in function on the repeater tonight. We'll run through those first, then we'll see if there's any others. I got W4FCM, that's Mr. Fred and his sweet bride, and 4IEI, that's Miss Iva, they're up Traveler's Rest. And KJ4RQZ, that's Mr. Nathan, he's also in Traveler's Rest. And K4OSH, that's Mr. Pat, he's down in Malden. And KA5WLL, that's Mr. Leroy over in Taylor's. And KI4LZI, that's Mr. Andy at Table Rock. And K4XMR, Mr. Mail, he's down at Prosperity. And KC4W, that's Mr. Bill, he's down at Anderson. And KO4PXB, that's Mr. Lloyd down in Simpsonville. And WG4MC, that's Mr. Matt, he's over in Western Greenville County. He's not on the pre-check-ins, but he sent me a text earlier today. He is feeling poorly, so I'm gonna. He asked me to call the net for him tomorrow night, so I'll be here again tomorrow night, filling in for Matt. Don't have any echo. We'll move up to the RF check-ins now. Mike through Papa. If your call starts with M through P, call KI4DOS.
4DOS. Okay. Please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4, Oscar, November Oscar, Lorena, and my husband, Kilo, Kilo 4, Delta, Mike, Whiskey, Rig, and our daughter, Kilo Mike 4, Mike Oscar Quebec, Michelle, we're all in Piedmont. I'll be negative and negative.
4 DOS. And Gary, hope you're doing well. Please check in. Kilo Oscar 4, November Hotel. KO 4, MNTH. My name is Fred, mobile in Piedmont tonight. 17, you, Gary, Miss Joy, and all in the net. I'll be negative and negative.